morning. Today is Thursday, February the 25th, 56th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is California Highway Patrol Public Information Officer out of the swamp, the Arcata District. Woo. Si May.
Good morning.
Swamp boy.
That's it. I'm here. I made it.
Yes, and you don't know how happy I am that you're here.
Your eyes light up every time you see me, Brian.
Yeah, and so do yours.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, in the back of your car. Oh, boy. This morning, we got a bunch of different things that we're going to kick around, but before we do, let's see if I can find a quote about safety. Saints and sailors and safety. There they are. Ha! From Shakespeare in Hamlet.
All right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Those Shakespearean fingers to the air, please. Best safety lies in fear. Huh? Isn't
that
cool?
I think he speaks the truth.
Yeah.
Everything I'm scared of, I try to stay away from.
Like tickets.
Yeah, right.
Things of that nature. How frequently do you guys patrol the safety corridor? I mean, is there a formula that's there? Yesterday I was headed north a little before this time, 7:40, something like that. So there was some action coming into Eureka. And for whatever reason, not distracted, but I just was kind of tired. So I locked it at 50.
Yeah.
Wasn't, you know, really paying. And zoom, 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 going by me. Then I looked over in the other lane. There was one of your guys.
Mm-hmm.
Driving, coming in, and we're going slow. And people slow, and then as soon as he's passed,
speed back up.
Another 10 miles an hour. Just bang. Everybody went. Yeah. You know, and I was wondering what was wrong with the truck. But if there had been somebody a quarter mile up, either there would have been skid marks on the highway or somebody would have been getting chicken cramp from writing all the checks.
Gotten a talking to.
Yeah.
You know, we patrol there every day, believe it or not. But we've got a big area, and we've got to divide that up into several officers throughout every moment of the day. So we've got one officer who is assigned to that specific area, but he's also got other areas in his beat. He also takes part of 255.
So yeah, he may loop the bridges.
He may be over there responding to a call that's going to take up part of his day. He's got part of Myrtle up by Harrison. We take some of that. That's on the outskirts of Eureka, and that's part of that beat.
So he's got Old Arcata as well as Safety Corridor and South G. Okay.
And north up to just south of McKinleyville and part of 299 as well. So that officer's responsible for that whole area.
So it's really not safety
corridor.
It's not
just safety corridor. Yeah, exactly. If we maybe had some more officers, we could specifically assign one to there, but it's just not.
What about the cameras?
You know, our dash cameras?
They've got them. No. On the little signs.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that have the
speed. That flash, yeah.
Yeah, just a recording camera. I know there's some jurisdictions that have it, and it just posts what the speed is, and you get correspondence, I believe, is what the IRS calls it.
Is that what they say?
Yes. Has that been ever thought of?
You know, I don't know if they've actually thought of that for our area here with the corridor itself, but it's not a bad idea.
KINS News, depending on who you talk to. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Si May from the CHP. Si, this morning we had reports of a car turned over and then somebody stopping either to help or assist and them getting blasted by somebody. We never talk about this kind of stuff because it's so infrequent, but if you come upon an accident of that magnitude and it's a two-lane road, there's not really a lot of maneuvering room. You can't pull over necessarily, set up detours, the flares, all that kind of stuff before the badges show up. What's a guy supposed to do in that kind of situation so they don't set themselves up to be in a one of a series?
It's a hard situation. You know, we've got dangerous roads around here. So if you come up on a terrible traffic accident on a two-lane road and it's in a blind curve and you manage to slow down or avoid crashing into that vehicle, everybody's want is to help. That's the nature of human beings. So I would advise you have to get to a safe place first, because you don't want to endanger yourself anymore or your family from getting hit in the rear with another vehicle.
Well, let's pick either. 299's got a number of places.
Yes.
101, the first time I heard it, I thought it was Hunter Creek, just north of Klamath, and there's maybe a foot and a half shoulder on each side, and then you're down in a swamp and water.
Yes.
Okay. At night,
right?
You come up on something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I would imagine the first thing you have to look at is the view shed.
Yeah.
You know, how much, if you got a mile run up.
Right, of course.
Okay, things are going to be a little different than if you're on the turn.
Yes.
And guys are coming around, typically going 45 to 50.
Yes. I say, if you can get around it or turn around and get yourself to safety, do that first. Then dial 911 to let us know what's going on and give us as much information as you possibly can. I always advise people to bring flares with them in their cars so that if they can stop in a safe place where they're not going to be in danger, they can help maybe set out some flares to warn some other drivers to come up. But first and foremost is your safety and letting us know what's going on.
When you say flares, are you thinking one or two? Because if you're trying to cover both sides, most of us are not in track condition.
Right.
So by the time we get somewhere, it'd be too late, probably.
Yes.
Just get one, throw it as far as you can one direction, throw it the other direction, and then if you got time.
Again, I don't advise throwing out any flares if you're in danger yourself. Again,
out of the way.
Yeah, once you're out of the way, try to set up a few flares around the corner from where the accident is. Again, if you can do it safely, to try to let vehicles know, hey, this is something's coming up ahead of you. If you set it up right near the traffic accident, it might be too late. And they see the flare and then they're there. So set up one or two, as many as you can, maybe staggered alongside the roadway. If it's dry season, especially out in the east part of the county, you might want to think twice before setting flares out near the grass.
Can you put it in the middle of the road? Is that okay?
You can. You can put it in the center, like on the divider line.
Yeah.
But again, I caution everyone to do this safely. I don't want people out there in the middle of the road putting themselves in danger. So this is all to be done only if you can do it safely. And number one is to dial 911. Let the emergency crews know what's going on so we can be on our way to take care of business.
Better to do that than to try to help whoever might be inside the rig?
Yes, I would say so. Because if you're going to put yourself in danger, and it's just potentially going to cause more pain and suffering. So you come across a traffic accident, get to safety, dial 911, let us know what's going on. Then if you can safely slow traffic down, let them know one way or another, put your hazard lights on your vehicle. If you have flares, safely put them out. But number one is get us coming. Without us coming, things are going to be delayed. More people can get hurt or killed, and that's not what we want.
Any different recommendations, whether it's daytime or nighttime?
Not really. Again, just try to be as visible as possible and safe as possible. Again, in nighttime brings another element. If you have a flashlight in your car, please get that out. Some people even carry fluorescent vests for emergency incidents. It's a good idea. Just have a little box in your trunk or something, an emergency box with flares, water, a vest, a flashlight. Have that ready to go, because around here especially, you never know what you're going to come across.
I know this is going to sound really stupid, but I think I've only done a flare once.
Yeah.
Okay. Should you hold it and wave it or put it down on the ground?
I would put it down on the ground. I mean, yeah, you waving it might get somebody's attention more, but those things are really bright. It laying on the ground is going to get somebody's attention. It really should. So strike the flare away from your body. Please don't burn yourself. And set it down. That's what I would do. Set it down in a safe place where it's not going to roll off the road or roll into the middle of the road. Usually you can take the cap that covers the striking end and stick it on the other end, and there's a little tab. If you look at one, it's kind of hard to describe, that if you lay it a certain way, it'll keep it from rolling.
It's like a pen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got the little clippy thing for the pocket, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't roll in.
Exactly.
Okay. Do these things burn during wet?
They will.
I presume?
Yeah, they absolutely will. The flares nowadays, I mean, they'll last 15, 20 minutes, and yeah, in a downpour, they'll last pretty good.
So that probably is long enough for somebody to get there that knows how to do things.
Hopefully.
They're not 15, 20 minutes?
Not always, depending on where you're at. If you're out in the middle of Willow Creek, it can take a little bit longer. So I would say carry a box of flares, carry 10 with you if you can, and what we do is we will stagger them. So we'll light one, and then have another one not lit.
But cross it down towards the base.
Cross it down
toward
the end, so it will light the second one, so it can add additional time to those flares without you having to actually getting out.
So you're making an L.
Yeah, pretty much an L. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Again, just want to let everybody know: do it safely.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Cy May from the California Highway Patrol. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Cy, as you consider some of the different things that are out there, we've heard in the past, and every once in a while I suppose we get some exposure to it, that there's really a brotherhood around law enforcement. Okay. You know, and that would seem logical. Everybody who plays baseball, there's camaraderie there. There's common knowledge, common experiences. And it doesn't matter what team you play for, what level, there's 95% is the same.
Yeah.
Is the same true with law enforcement and public safety? I mean, do you have a lot of common with CDF?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or with the sheriffs, or with anybody else that's in that genre of public safety?
Absolutely. Of course, there's little differences here and there, but we're all safety minded. We all share experiences, and especially ones that you work close with, where you've gone through quote unquote scary incidents together, traffic collisions, shootings, stuff like that. Those intense things bring strong bonds that you can't explain unless you've gone through, and it's just. Cops think a little bit differently than other people, just like scientists may think a little bit differently than most people. So if you're looking outside, looking in at us, we're a different animal. But we have a bond and a love for one another that is just nothing like I've ever experienced before.
Is it genetic going in, or is it cultural from time on the job?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think you have to be a certain type of person to do the job that we do. And then throughout the training and the experiences of being on the job, it just tightens those bonds and tightens up that type of person that you are.
So how do you try to explain that to family? Or not spouse,
right?
Because that's probably going to be at a different level.
Right.
I'm thinking is siblings.
Yeah.
Your folks.
Right.
Grandparents, aunts and uncles, people who don't get it.
You know, I don't really try to explain myself anymore. Obviously your family loves you for who you are, and they know that there's a lot of stress and stuff that comes with the job. And I just know that most people aren't going to understand exactly what we go through and our training and experiences. And I try, if people ask me questions, I'm an open book. I like to try to show who I am as a person. I try to be relatable to anybody, family, friends, everybody. But it's just, unless you've been there, like military men being in war and women going to war, unless you've been there, you really don't quite get it. And it's just the nature of the beast.
And that's okay now for you?
For me? Yeah, it is what it is. And if somebody doesn't quite agree with what we do or how things are run, I understand why they may not agree, and I don't get upset with them because I understand that they don't quite see it the way we see it. And that's fine with me. And I can try to explain it to them all day, and they may never get it, and that's fine. It's life, you know?
So in your mind, you're not saying wrong?
I may say wrong, but I understand why they may feel the way they feel. It's very hard to explain. It really is.
It has nothing to do with jurisdictions then?
Oh, as far as like CHP versus
Or Humboldt Sheriff. County instead of Shasta, right. Or somewhere down south.
You know, there's always, again, a little bit of differences, but as far as I'm concerned, we're all out there for the same sort of purposes. And I've worked extremely close with the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department over the years, being out in Willow Creek. They were my partner. I was their partner. So I have a huge love for them. And I hope vice versa. And they're just another brother in law enforcement, brother or sister in law enforcement that, sure, we may wear different uniforms, but we're all out there, hopefully for the greater good and to serve the community.
So when there's a bad cop or a renegade,
yeah,
does that rock everybody the same?
Yeah. Yeah, from my experience, it is a big betrayal to us and the community. It's just, it hurts. It hurts when you see something like that. And luckily, in my job, I've worked with many, many officers, and I haven't seen one, quote-unquote, bad cop. Cops make mistakes. We're like anybody else, you know, of course, and I've seen that.
But not the renegade or the...
No, luckily, I've never had to experience that firsthand, and I hope never to experience that, because it is a heartbreak.
KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We'll be back with more from Sime.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 845. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Sai May. Sai, one of the things certainly along with the renegade cop concept is the racial, not profiling, because I still see that as a positive, because you're using experiences. And that's all that it is you're bringing to school your experiences, and if you don't do that, I would suggest you're crazy.
Well, we've definitely taken a steer away from racial profiling.
I understand, right. But you know, not racial profiling, just profiling.
Profiling in general.
Just in general, you know, if somebody's doing, acting, behaving, okay, right. My experiences indicate, and it's
yes.
Not color, it's
yeah, no.
The action.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're in Eastern Humboldt, mm-hmm. whether you're on the reservation or you're in Humboldt County proper,
right.
Does any of that stuff taint what you're looking for? Will you try not to base the actions because it might be somebody who is of blank color?
Descent, right.
Or blank, a BMW or a Jaguar versus a beater.
Right.
Or a beater versus a Jaguar. I mean, how much do you allow experience to enter in, and how much do you have to dummy it down?
Experience is always going to be on your side. And that's a tool that will continue to grow. And it's not an experience of dealing with certain types of people or anything like that. It's just experience as a whole. So yeah, if you see a beater car versus a BMW, I grew up out there. There's a lot of beater cars that are driven by beautiful people who are not committing any crimes. I used to have a beater car myself. But with the beater car, it may have a taillight out. There's a reason for us to stop and talk to somebody, where the BMW maybe functioning properly, and there's no law or anything that can get us to talk to those people. You know, there's no violation going on. And out in Eastern Humboldt, there's a wide diverse of human beings that live out there. Rich, poor, black, white, brown, they're all over the place. So our experience with, you know, racial profiling, again, we've definitely steered away from that within the last few decades, which is absolutely necessary, because it doesn't matter who
but you
are.
You can erase racial and still profile,
just profile,
right?
Well, I'll tell you what we're profiling. We're profiling criminals from non-criminals.
Yeah.
Violations from non-violations, exactly. Speeding versus somebody who's not speeding. Somebody who's weaving versus somebody who's not weaving. Yeah, that's the only profiling that we do nowadays.
Which makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the only way it should be. The only reason why we need to contact somebody is because they're doing something wrong.
Yeah, a set of behaviors.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Regardless of who it is.
Regardless of who
it
is. Yeah.
That's what I was getting.
That's
it.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head.
I'm not quite a Neanderthal. Right, Damien? Not quite. Uh-oh.
He looked away.
Yeah. Look, Dad. Yeah.
No comment, he said.
Yeah, or words to that effect.
So one thing, Brian, before we go, I just wanted to announce something real quick. We have an officer. He's not a local officer, but he's an officer with the California Highway Patrol who is dealing with some medical complications. This officer had been in the blood marrow organization on their list to see if he's a match for somebody for quite a few years. Turns out he was a match for a young girl somewhere. And when he was given some marrow, they found out that he, in fact, has marrow cancer as well. So he was trying to save somebody's life and found out that he's ill. We are going to have a blood marrow drive March 16th in Eureka, 2524 Harrison Avenue.
That's so the blood bank?
The blood bank, yep. Okay. So if people can come by, it's a quick swab of the mouth. They test it, see if you're a match, and we might be able to save somebody's life. So we're trying to help out a fellow officer, a fellow brother in arms, like you were talking about earlier. I would do anything to try to help this man, and I hope that the community can come out and show support for him.
Well, that's kind of an extension off of Niall Henderson and his project Share Life.
Yep.
through Rotary. Just the swabbing. Just
yes.
The
it's register. Quick and easy. Takes 2 seconds.
And the other thing that I'm aware of is even if you are a match, it doesn't obligate you.
No, you don't.
If you're
have
not
to.
Ready to, you don't gotta.
Exactly.
And again, that's in a couple weeks. We'll hear about that.
Absolutely, we will.
Thanks for coming by, Si.
Thanks, Brian.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.